Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations. The show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. We can book all your Disney travel needs. Contact us at americantouristtravel.com. And it's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to rent any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at David's Vacation Club Rental or DVCRequest.com. And now on with the show.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
As you can tell by my voice, not so well. We're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters, who's drinking a very good Peroni right now because I just served it to him. Right, John?
Right you are. Hey, I hear you picked up a couple of six-packs at Publix for buy one, get one free, so not a bad deal.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. And then our good buddy, Bob Sycon, is drinking Christmas right now. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing tonight?
No, three of the four of us is fine.
Yeah.
The knucklehead running the show, though, is sick as a dog because all the idiots at work are sick. I had to join in finally. So you guys are going to have to run the ship tonight. How's that sound?
We do all the talking, you do all the laughing.
Yeah, how's that? Yeah, God only knows I'm not going to be able to keep my mouth shut the whole show.
Yeah, right. That's what I was saying before the show. I'll believe this when I see it.
Yeah, well, you can't because I think our listeners actually expect that you're going to go off on a rant on something. If we put out a show where you don't rant about something, it's the ratings are going to plummet.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I'm the ranting idiot over here. The grumpy ranter. So what we're going to do tonight, guys, we're going to do a little Christmas Around World Showcase with our good buddy John. He's going to talk about it. He was just there this weekend, and he's going to tell us all the good food he had, the good storytellers. He's seen a show over at the studios that I'm thinking he didn't love so much. Am I wrong about that?
You got that pretty pegged, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of read your mouth English. Yeah, your sign language that you were giving over the last show that you were talking, we were talking to you. You didn't sound too happy about it. And then we're going to head to Bob, and he's going to give us our rankings for the brackets for the food around World Showcase and around all of Epcot. We're going to do Epcot sit-down restaurants. Is that right, Bobby? I think Bobby muted us again.
No, that's going to be awesome with all those nice restaurants over there in Epcot. This was the park I was looking forward to the most, so I'm looking forward to see how it all shook out and who I get a vote for tomorrow.
So, yeah, there were 19 table services in Epcot that at least qualified for the seating exercise that we completed. It's going to be an exciting three-round tournament, this one will be, so stay tuned, everybody. You got 3 days of voting coming up. We're counting on you to speak your mind.
Well, and I won't try to persuade the listeners any way, shape, or form. I'll be good. You guys know I won't do any persuasion whatsoever.
You're not hooked up with Russia or something like that, are you?
No, I'm not.
Trying to rig this thing?
No, I'm not trying to rig anything.
So maybe you shouldn't try any persuasion, because every time you do that, you get the opposite result. If you sort of leave it sit this time, maybe you'll get the result you want.
Maybe I want to be at my restaurants alone. Did you ever think of that?
Hey, there you go.
I'm keeping people away so I can eat more. But anyway, go ahead. But Dan, what were you going to say, buddy?
No, I just said, there you go. That's a good strategy.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't eat at the Boathouse. Wink, wink, nod, nod. So, but anyway, do you want to start us off, Johnny, on your wonderful Saturday while we were all sitting home in the cold? And I don't know how cold it is in Atlanta right now. How's the weather? Are you okay down there, Bobby?
We're hanging in here. I mean, it's still a little chilly for, I mean, once you come down to the south, you you kind of get, your blood does thin a little bit. You get acclimated to the warmer weather. So it's been probably in the 50s or so. Which means we're wearing winter jackets, but it's not, it's raining, it's not snowing, I'll tell you that much.
We're going to have 29 degrees as a high and 31 degrees as a high for Thursday and Friday this week. So and lows of 14 degrees at night, so it's not going to be fun around here.
Oh, that's so cute.
So where'd your day start off at, Johnny? What did you and Mrs. Peters do all day on Saturday?
Well, you know, some podcasts I listened to probably a couple, 3-4 years ago actually recommended this walk from Hollywood Studios to Epcot. I don't know whoever came up with this great idea, but that's what we do almost all the time now. So we park at Hollywood Studios and then meander our way over to Epcot. Half of the time we stop at the Boardwalk Bakery in the morning and get a cup of coffee and a croissant and stuff like that for a nice light breakfast. So we go in through the International Gateway and headed over and got some nice pictures of the Epcot Christmas tree, walked around Mouse Gear a little bit. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. As we've grown older, we don't really care so much about riding the attractions all the time. Certainly, you know, not on a day when we're out there to see Christmas stuff. So I don't think we did any attractions at all. So didn't have any fast passes or anything. So meandered around looking at the some of the decorations in Future World and Mouse Gear and stuff like that. And made our way to Canada around 11:30 to, they did have a holiday sandwich at the little kiosk across from the gift shops there at what's that, Port of Call right there or whatever, you know, the two gift shops at the beginning of World Showcase.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a concession stand across the way from them, and they had a holiday sandwich that sounded very familiar to the Earl of Sandwich, holiday sandwich. You know, with the sliced turkey, the cranberry bread, mashed potatoes, stuffing, gravy. But it was, I think, $2 more than Earl of Sandwich one and half the size. So if I want that, I'll go over to Earl of Sandwich and get it.
Was it as good, John, or was it on par with the Earl, or would you say it was less than?
I actually didn't try it. I saw the size of it and the price of it, and I kind of just guessed I would skip out on it. Nobody was ordering it when I walked past, so how about that? So, and it was right at lunchtime, so, yeah.
Wow.
We passed the Three Kings area. I didn't try anything there, but we did walk up and take some pictures and look at the items. The food items, if you happen to get a chance to head over here, you're going to notice that you cannot, with a good conscience, spend the amount of money that they're asking for these items and get 3 or 4 or 5 in a day for yourself like you can at the Food and Wine Festival. You know, when they're $4 or $5, that's okay. But every food item here, they were entree size, so I'll give them that. So they were definitely bigger, but they're between $10 and $13. So one or two is the most that you're going to get, especially if you're by yourself.
Well, the positive thing is that at least it'll fill you up, so you ain't going to want to eat anything else if they are entree size. So it's a bad thing, yeah, but it's a good thing.
There's one that I'll tell you about in a little bit that definitely filled you up. So, yeah, they were all pretty decent portions. I wouldn't complain at all about the serving sizes or anything. It's just you don't get a sample nearly as much as you do at the Food and Wine Festival. So it's better to go in with an idea of what you want to maybe have, one around lunch and one around dinner, and that's probably about it. So, you know.
I know I couldn't. If you're saying from the portions I've seen, I couldn't eat no more than one for lunch and one for dinner either. Anyway, unless me and Brenda were actually splitting everything, you know, then we might be able to do three, you know what I mean?
But yeah, I think we did. We ended up doing 4 over about 7 hours, and that was splitting them between the two of us. And I don't think we finished one of them all the way. So,
so it's kind of like a different I'm sorry, John. I'm just saying it's probably a different mindset. More than like Food and Wine, you're noshing around the world. This, you're really committing to at least a maybe akin to a counter service meal or something like that. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And you know how at Food and Wine Festival, if you're gonna spend if you're spending $4 or $5 on it, and you take a bite or two, and it's nothing that you're really happy with, you can grit your teeth and throw it away and figure, well, this, you know, a couple of bucks, $3 or $4. Yeah, but you're not going to throw away, or at least me, I'm not going to throw away something I spent $13 on. Right. So
it's no. Kind of like throwing away a $10 beer.
So for people, so for people who want to see some of what John's going to be talking about, as far as pictures of the food, go over to allinwdw.com, and we posted earlier in the week what it is that John did experience over the weekend. You'll see pictures of some of the food that he had.
And everything looked good. Very good.
Yeah, some of it was really good. So we walked past the Three Kings, looked at the stuff, but nothing there really grabbed us. So we made our way slowly around, starting in Canada, headed over to the UK, and made our way to France. And between France and Morocco is the Alpine House. And there they had the duck confit, and my wife is a big fan of duck. So I got that. I tried it. It was just a little too rich for me. I liked it. I just wasn't a huge fan of it. She thought it was fantastic and ate almost the entire thing. They had a little mashed potato, like almost like fried mashed potato dumplings with it, which were really tasty. So I ate most of those, but I let her have most of the duck. So
nah,
I don't know if you
need to take her over to the duck the Brown Derby one of these days.
That's on the agenda. I think maybe we're going to try that in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, the outside bar where you had them at, right?
Absolutely.
Lounge outside. Yeah.
You guys could order that. You could have the beef, and she could have the duck, and you'd both be happy.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I think we will give that a shot. At the same place, I did try the cheese fondue. It was a big bread bowl full of full of cheese, basically. I love cheese. I love trying different sampling different types of cheese. So I enjoyed this quite a bit. But you better really like your cheese if you're going to get this. If you're going to spend $11 on it, yeah.
So John, so I'm looking at the picture that's on the site, and you know you could see they've hollowed out the loaf of bread and filled in the cheese. How far down into the bread did they hollow it out? I mean, it was all the way through to the bottom to the crust,
yeah.
Or was it only partially through?
Almost all the way down to the bottom. So yeah, it was a bowl of cheese, really. I mean, so yeah, you had they gave you the top crust of the bread too to dip into it. So yeah, if you're a fan of cheese, it's killer. It really is.
I enjoyed
it a lot. So.
I would bring a bag of pretzels with me to continue dipping into that. I mean, because you need something to break it down. You didn't just stick your spoon in there and just start eating cheese, did you?
No, I ate it with the bread. Like I said, there was a lid that or the top of the bread that they had cut off, so I dipped that into it and ate it with that and stuff and then you could start eating the bread, the sides of the bowl and stuff as you went down through it. So
that amount of cheese would last me for a month. I mean, literally, because we'll buy a container of that pub cheese or something like that, and literally that'll last me 3-4 weeks. I mean, there looks like more cheese in that than there is in one of those pub cheese containers.
Now, John, let me ask you a question. So you said this was the Alpine House marketplace or whatever we're calling it. How many food items did they offer from that particular marketplace? Like just two or one or?
Yeah, just the two.
Okay, just and that was typical throughout all the others as well? They each had two items to offer?
I think most of them had two and then one dessert. Okay. So if they had a dessert at this one, I can't remember what it was. I should have brought my book up with me. Oh, by the way, you guys have your books and maps on the way.
You're the man. Thank you.
Yeah. So the dessert, I do have the menu out on the site. Thanks for the picture, John. It's a chocolate cake with apricot jam and dark chocolate glaze. They call it I'm going to take a shot here.
Go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I want to hear you say
it. I'm gonna say it's a soccer tort.
Yeah, and I would have said soccer teat. So I think you're right. But no, it sounds good. But no, I don't know. After eating the cheese fondue, I'm not going to get a soccer tea. I'll tell you that right now.
The one thing I would say, if you really wanted to get a better, just maybe try sampling the stuff. If you've got a sweet tooth, most of the desserts were only, I think, $3.50 to $4 or $4.50, in that range. So if you just wanted to sample some stuff, then you could probably grab most of the desserts for the more typical food and wine festival prices.
Yeah.
But I'm more into the savory stuff than I am the sweet stuff. So
I'll tell you what looked good on this. I don't know if you went by there though, but the T.G. Lee eggnog with Irish whiskey at the UK beer cart. I'm in. I don't usually like eggnog, but I have some Irish whiskey with it right now. I could go for that. But there's some things that really look good on these menus, Johnny. So go ahead.
Yeah, so we finished there and made our way over to America to the holiday table. And I tried the turkey with the stuffing, the slow roasted turkey with the stuffing, and basically all the fixings. It was good, but it was, it's your typical holiday fare that you're going to that we've had on Thanksgiving, and probably most of us will be eating again on Christmas Day, or Bob will probably be eating it tomorrow. So it's holiday food. So
nah, they have a seared pork tenderloin there too. Did you see that?
I saw that. I should have grabbed a picture of it, but yeah, maybe I should have tried that just to try something a little different. What I did have there that I was really quite surprised with was here it is. Shipyard eggnog, white porter, ale with aged on bourbon. So it was a eggnog beer.
You had me at aged on bourbon. No, actually, it's funny that you had expressed that you really enjoyed that, John. But I actually heard some other comments after we posted your pictures and your feelings about the food that you ate. I saw some other comments from some of our readers and listeners that were very complimentary to that beer, that particular beer as well.
Yeah, I like eggnog, but you have maybe one, during Christmas.
Yeah, because it's rich, very rich.
Yes, yeah. But I know I like the flavor of it, so I figured I'd give this beer a chance, and actually I was very, very surprised. It tasted like eggnog. It definitely had that taste, but it was obviously not quite as rich as a regular eggnog, and you could still get some nice some beer flavorings out of it, but with it's hard to describe. It really is, but you could even taste the bourbon in it. So it was altogether, it was definitely one that if I could find it, I actually went looking for it in a six pack the next day, and I couldn't find it. But I would pick up one of these before Thanksgiving and have one on Thanksgiving dinner, maybe two between Thanksgiving and Christmas, maybe one on Christmas Day, one on New Year's Day, that type of thing. So,
John, what was the coloring of it? Was it more of did it look like beer or look like an eggnog or halfway between, or what did it look like?
It was probably a dark amber, so it looked a lot like maybe a Bass. Maybe a little richer of color, a little more amber than a Bass, but yeah, it had that coloring to it. So yeah, it definitely looked like a beer, not eggnog, but it was kind of strange, but it was fantastic. It really was.
And now the viscosity, was it like the viscosity of a beer, or was it a little thicker than a normal beer would be given it's eggnog, or are we saying it was just like eggnog flavoring and I'm getting hooked on actual eggnog here?
It was more, yeah. It was more beer. It was definitely a beer, but with some eggnog flavoring in it, okay. Kind of brewed into the process. But it definitely was a little thicker than your standard ale. It had a little more body to it. So,
I see the drink on the menu that Doug would have. It's the T.G. Lee Eggnog with Fireball Whiskey, the Fire Nog.
The Fire Nog.
Sounds good to me right now.
That would help his cold out, that's for sure.
Yeah. If you guys hear me on pause, you know I'm over here sneezing my head off. I paused like 10 times already, so don't mind me tonight, guys. And I don't have much brains to blow out if I sneeze too hard. So where'd you head off to next, Johnny?
All right, so after we finish that...
one quick thing. I will say, though, the menu here at American Holiday Table, I wish they'd keep it year-round. There's more things that are interesting on this than there is on the menu that's there year-round. So maybe you got to get a hit and have a slow roasted turkey and a pork tenderloin at the real restaurant.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to run into the Liberty Inn and get those type of items instead of a cold cheeseburger and a stale hot dog? I mean, so.
Exactly.
Here it comes, folks.
No. I've already done this rant many a times. I'm just reiterating it. They need to do something. Go ahead, Johnny. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No problem. So we left. The last item we tried at Epcot was the – we went to Prost, which is the food booth between Germany and the African outpost. I was, believe it or not, horribly disappointed with the beer selection here because there was none. There was a Caramel Kiss, which is the mulled wine mixed with Werther's Original, which just does not even sound good with wine and caramel. Ugh. But then they had the standard mulled wine. They had a cider. I think it was a apple cider with black currants, and that was their drink selections. Not a single beer, which I couldn't believe. So.
That's strange.
But what I did have here was the Sauerbraten, which was it had red cabbage, some spatzel, and slow roasted pork in the middle. And it was honestly probably I'd swear it was over a pound of food. if you look at my pictures, it's huge. It really is. And it was me and my wife shared it, and neither one of us could barely move after we finished it. So it was a massive portion. It was absolutely fantastic. So.
Wow. Well, at least you had something you really, really liked then today. And then you could walk over to Germany and get yourself a real beer if you want to. It ain't like those stations were cut off.
No, it was actually very crowded that day. I'll give you a little hint for grabbing a beer in Germany. There's
head
the beer
to Canada
cart out front. Well, I found one in Canada too. So there's the beer cart out front, beer cart on the right hand side. You can always go back to Summerfest. And sometimes there the line is a little shorter and you can get some decent selections there. But there's also the Weinkeller, which is the little wine cellar on your left-hand side, and inside there they usually have three or four different beers, and they have the standard cheese plate, almost like I actually got the cheese plate outside at Prost too, but it was almost exactly the same as the one I can grab in here all year round. They have some other nice German selections of beer here, and even one more spot. There was lines at every one of these, but next to the register in the little store next door to the Weinkeller is just a barrel full of iced beer, and there was nobody in line there. So give me enough chances, and I'll find me a place to get a beer with no line.
That's,
so I did. So.
John the beer sleuth. He'll find it out. He'll detect it out for you.
Hey, they call him Beer Solo.
Yes,
exactly.
He earned his stripes. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of really interesting drinks, like the chocolate grasshopper, Shipyard cinnamon bun nut ale. I mean, there's only two food selections at every booth, but there's four or five beer or wine or drink selections at every booth, which is pretty cool. It's kind of like a drink around the world more during the holiday than it is food, if you ask me.
If you're a big fan of mixed drinks or wine and of desserts, you could definitely sample your way around and probably hit a lot more of the booths and stuff than we did. So.
Yeah, because even the Joffrey's Coffee, the coffee and tea company, they had some really neat – the Crazy Elf. rum chata, cream liqueur, fireball, cinnamon whiskey with steamed light cream and topped with a whipped cream. I'm in. $9.49. Give me. I mean, there's some really interesting things. That the good part is it is different than food and wine. There's a lot of different options on here, and that's the one thing I do like about this. It's something different. It's not just they're not just mimicking food and wine, and they are adding different things, and I do applaud them for that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I saw that was probably doubled from either the food and wine or the Flower and Garden Festival, I can't remember which one, is the duck confit. Okay. It was prepared a little different with the potatoes, mashed potatoes and stuff, but yeah, they do have that. But other than that, I think everything was pretty much an original recipe for this. So
The seasonal Southern Delights, I would like to try that blackened catfish. That looks pretty good.
That's the one that I regret not hitting. We looked at the menu and got some pictures and stuff, but they weren't open when we were over there. So, and by the time we got back around, it was way too full. So
yeah, it's blackened catfish served with white cheddar grits, fried okra, tomato, and onion stew. That sounds really good. The one that I don't know is the Hoppin' John, black-eyed peas, ham hocks, and kale with white rice and cornbread crumbles. Either any of you guys like ham hocks?
Don't think I've ever had them.
No, I do not like them. You, John, Bob, have you ever had a ham hock, Bob?
I don't believe I have. I would venture to guess Mrs. All in WWD
WWW's had it.
Yeah,
have another Christmas beer, Bob.
Now, isn't that a Southern prepared dish, John?
That's a traditional Southern dish, probably more for like South Carolina, Louisiana, and that type of area. The ham hocks, we use them. I make collard greens every once in a while. My wife's a big fan of collard greens. But they're just for seasoning in that. I mean, you boil them and they boil out all the flavor and into the greens. You really don't eat them. So I'm not sure exactly what parts they'd cut off to put into the Hoppin' John that you would actually eat, but I imagine they found something. So.
Yeah, it's one of the few things there's not pictures of that I would like to see. If anybody has the Hoppin' John, send us a picture or send it over. The Hoppin' John tweet, send it over to Twitter or Facebook for us. I'd like to see what that plate looks like. What about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, given the fact that none of us has had it except for maybe John, it would do us go a long way in helping us understand what the dish is. But I think whoever said it, I don't know if it was you, Doug, or I don't remember. Oh, it was John that just said that maybe the hawks are just put in there for that reasoning, just for the flavoring, and maybe that's why they didn't really promote it or release pictures of it, because there's not anything to see or it isn't very appetizing looking.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think you do eat the ham hocks, so.
Okay.
I mean, I've like I said at the beginning, I have tried it, but it's not my favorite. My ex-brother-in-law, when we were in North Carolina, I've tried it down there, and it don't look good to me. but I will try everything at least once if you know, and it wasn't like, nah, I'm not, I'll have a slice of ham. I don't want the hocks. I'm good.
He'll be over at the Brown Derby next week having duck and ham hocks sliders.
Yeah, with a little bit of lamb meatball on the side.
Yeah.
So where'd you go to next, Johnny?
Well, that's about all that we hit in food. So we did see, I think I saw, ended up seeing five of the holiday storytellers this year. We saw most of them last year. We made a point of seeing every one of them last year. But this year we wanted to get over to Hollywood Studios to see the evening show. So I ended up seeing Pierre Noël in France and saw the Kwanzaa and the Hanukkah demonstrations in America. We saw the Chinese lion dancer in
They're
China.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. And Helga in Germany. So, yeah, that was pretty sweet, sitting there eating sauerbraten, listening to Helga, and drinking a good Dunkel from Germany. That was a good time, good time.
It sounds like it, a Dunkel. What was the other thing you said? A sauerbraten?
Swearing at us.
Yeah, so did I. A Dunkel, a sauerbraten, and a Hilda. I was like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, that was awesome. Pierre Noël, he's in France. He's your typical well, not American typical, but still Santa Claus. He comes out and reads a letter from one of his, obviously one of the children that he delivers gifts to. And it's a cute little presentation, but it's basically just a European Santa Claus. The Kwanzaa and the Hanukkah things, they were good in our, in my quest to become more culturally diverse. I figured I'd watch as many different shows as I could. So they were both entertaining. They're right after each other. So if you're and all of these I managed to catch after I'd grab a food item and then pretty much sit there and watch the show as I was eating the meal. So and then while right after the Kwanzaa and the Hanukkah thing, we didn't wait in line for Santa Claus, but I did get some pictures. I put those up today as my beer solos pick of the day of the Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus there in America. And they, you know, there's some Santa Clauses maybe at the malls that are lacking a little bit in their attire or maybe in their costuming, but these guys, they look great. Absolutely fantastic. If they're not a real beard, it's darn close to it. So, they looked great. We saw Helga in Germany. She does a Christmas story about a nutcracker. A giant nutcracker ends up coming out and marching around and taking pictures with the kids. And then the Chinese lion dance in China. And that, even though it's not necessarily Christmas, it's more for New Year's, it's still one of the coolest shows out there. So.
Now, it's really interesting. It's something if you go there every year, you've seen it, but it's probably something you've never seen before if you're going to the parks. It's really cool. It's really cool. I enjoyed it. It's
don't
very
you,
entertaining.
Don't you know, like you were saying with the menu items at the Liberty Inn, you wish they would take some of these and put in there. I wish they would, you know, interspace the kind of the lion dance with the acrobats in China. So maybe every other show was this lion dance because it is something that – if you've ever watched any movies when they're showing Chinatown or something like that in New York or San Francisco, you always see that. And so you go to Epcot and you're expecting to maybe see a dragon dance or a lion dance and you don't. So it's a little disappointing. So you can actually catch it during the holidays here. So
no, it's really cool. And I do like the acrobats, but it is nice to have that as something different during the holiday season. So I enjoy it. So what did you guys do? Head over to the Hollywood Studios after your day at Epcot?
Yeah, John, do you want to talk a little bit about the Le Cellier merchandise you saw at West Mercantile?
Yep, absolutely. When we walked up into the – well, what happened in Canada, well, some I don't know, buddy of mine has been, like, horribly dogging my beer.
Who says these things?
Yeah. So I walked up to my beer cart to get my beer at 11:45, and there's no Le Fin de Mon at the Canadian beer cart because they have sold out. And so they don't even have a tap handle on there. So
I think they heard something from the Main Street podcast. They told you they sold out, but really they gave up on the junk.
Well, once again, me being beer solo, I know where to go. So I go upstairs, and in the back side of the Canadian Pavilion now, they've taken some little bit of the merchandise out of the second part of the store where they have the hockey jerseys and stuff, and they've put a little bar at the register, and they have four or five beers there that you can buy. They have your Molson Canadian, a Moosehead, and a Unibrow Chambly. Let's see, I've got it written down. Blanche de Chambly. And it's
a very, very light beer on that, if I recall correctly. Yeah,
and it was if I can't get Le Fin de Mon, I can't get Twapostal, I'll take that. So it's pretty tasty. I mean, a lot better than the Moosehead or the Molson.
And you said they had Molson Canadian bottles of water?
Yeah, dude, don't be trying to even – you're not even in my league of breaking stones about beers, buddy.
We need to have a rant. We need to have a rant.
There's no rant. I'm just glad – I was just getting ready to thank my man to tell me that I could head up and get a Canadian Molson now upstairs because I do like Moosehead, but I prefer Canadian Molson over it. I like the Molson more than the Moosehead. So thank you, John, for giving me the information, and I go upstairs and drink my beer. I'm not picking on your little Christmas tree beer there, John, Bobby, so leave my Molson Canadian alone.
You haven't tried it yet.
Nah.
Well, you know, that's what I told him about Le Fin de Mons, so I don't put it past him. He probably hate that one, too. So.
What's the – text me over to name it.
He's not very cultured when it comes to beer, John. I think it's just you and I.
No. I like good beer. Yo, text me over what that junk is, and I'll go out and buy a six-pack.
He's already determined he doesn't like it.
I will try it, though. I will try it. You know, how do you – now you're telling me Peroni's a bad beer, John?
No, it's not bad. It's just not –
Well, what's wrong with it?
Not as flavorful as what I'm accustomed to.
It's kind of not. It's kind, John. It's kind of not beer.
But this is a guy drinking. He's drinking Miller White, Miller Lights at the Laguna Bar, acting like he's down there drinking like some kind of superior beer. You're drinking Miller Light. Miller Light. At least I was drinking real beer.
We just didn't want you to think that we were like. You know, drinking like heavy beers. We wanted you to think you were healthy.
Yeah, I'd rather drink water than Miller Lite. That's all I'm saying. But I didn't pick on you for it. I mean, Rusty Wallace represented Miller Lite. I don't even make me go there.
Oh, really?
But
how
much
do you think you're?
I think that's about as close.
What's that?
How much do you think your Molson and your Moosehead are upstairs in a bottle? Give me a wild guess.
Are they a bottle or are they at a draft?
No, they're upstairs. They're in bottles.
I'd say $8.
How about $6.75?
That is awesome for a good beer.
That is a great deal for Disney World beer.
Absolutely. And it's in a bottle.
I kind of did a double take. Mine was 9.25, but yeah, those two are $6.75. I was kind of really surprised. I hadn't seen a beer at that price in the theme parks in quite a while. So,
no. Now, John, do they actually have like a barmaid or a bartender there, or you just purchase the beer and really? Wow,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of a line. You go into your right, and there's a little queue set up, and there was probably only two other people in there at the time. But yeah, they have those three beers, and then they had it was some kind of ice wine. I forgot what it was, but yeah, there was either one or two selections of wine even. So
now, did you take a picture of this area?
Yes, I think I did. I'm not sure if I didn't send it over to Bob. I probably should have, but I'll probably dig through my pictures and be able to find it. So.
Well, that would be a smart thing to do, our Florida correspondent.
All right.
Now you're drinking real beer. You're coming around now.
Well, let's get on to what I did send Bob. So I grabbed that nice beer, and I walked over and was looking through the store, and lo and behold, I came across some Le Cellier merchandise. They have T-shirts, hats, I think it was a 32-ounce, almost like a plastic tumbler cup, and a sweatshirt. I think they had some refrigerator magnets too, maybe something like that. But
no, that's pretty cool that they have that.
So. Yeah, Rosencrown has some stuff. I think you guys know that.
My good buddy Den sent me a Rosencrown hat.
Actually, yeah, that's what I wear to work every day. Is my Rosencrown hat that I've had for a couple of years now. Yeah. Beer Garden has some merchandise. I've got a muscle shirt from the Beer Garden. Actually, I have a muscle shirt from Rosencrown too. So. But I think this is only the third one that I've seen actual merchandise from the restaurant in the shops now. And I looked in a couple other places in Italy and Morocco just in case I could find a Spice Road table or a Via Napoli or something. But I didn't see any of their other merch from any of the other stores just yet.
I mean, that is awesome. I mean, we were talking about them rolling out or expanding the resort-specific merchandise, and it sounds like now I'm willing to bet they will roll out some of the other more popular locations at Epcot because, you know, I love geeking out over stuff like that. Like, you know, only those of us that go to Disney World actually know what these places are, you know, back home. You know, it's cool to have stuff like that instead of just, you know, Disney parks like we were getting for so many years. So this is a great trend if indeed it is something they're going to roll out across the theme parks.
No, it would be an awesome idea. I'm sorry. If the Boathouse made remote control amphibious cars and sold them, and it said the Boathouse on the side of it, how cool would that
be? Cool.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I mean, you can buy it. You can buy Boathouse gear. I mean, it's a similar type thing. And I like what you said, Dennis. I mean, think about the different restaurants across property that could sell some gear. I mean, Ohana gear, for example, would probably people probably go nuts to have that. And if you go into restaurants. I mean, there's a lot of places we go to in Atlanta, Nashville, you know, that they sell T-shirts, caps and things like that. I mean, why? What better place than Disney? People get down there, you know, rarely enough that they may want to have that type of keepsake. John just himself said that he wears his Rose and Crown hat each day to work. I mean, it's great to be able to have that little piece of Walt Disney World. When you're at the office. I mean, I know I love it when, you know, I have a Mickey polo that I'll wear to work, you know, every week or every other week. I mean, it's just sort of lightens things up and makes it fun.
When are you going to get the Laguna Bar hat? You got to get them to make them, Bobby.
They don't have a Laguna Bar hat. That's a good point. We're going to have to ask for that. But I do have a Coronado Springs cap that I bought a year or two ago that they're still selling now. But I also have an older version of it that we bought back in around 2000. So I've got two different versions, and it's really fun to go there wearing the older one because people look at it and they'll say, where did you get that from? And it was something that I bought years and years ago.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my Paradiso 37 t-shirt with a set of ears with the mark over it, no noise or something like that.
Yeah, I'm going to get a tutu Italia one. What's up next, Johnny? So where'd you head off to? You went over to the studios? And I am happy to hear about the beer and the Le Cellier stuff, and I do want to see a picture so I know exactly where I'm going for this beer hunt.
Okay. All right. Actually, what I was going to say about that merchandise real quick, though, is we were speaking about it being a little understated, or you kind of have to be in the know to realize what you're seeing there. The 28th and Main stuff is a lot like that. I've got a Schweitzer Falls T-shirt that, unless you're a giant fan of the Jungle Cruise, you don't know what that is. So a lot of that stuff is understated like that, where you need to be in the know, you know, so it's really cool.
That is cool. I love all that stuff. Anything that's like I said, when Dennis sent me the hat and then the Port Orleans hat, that stuff, that's the cool stuff. I love wearing that stuff, especially like when I told the story a month ago. We were at Joe's Crab Shack and the girl goes, Port Orleans Riverside, we want to stay there. I love it when it strikes up a conversation. And I even love it more when my wife jumps in, because usually it's the eye rolling, here he goes. This is going to take a while. But this time she jumped in and started talking about it. I was like, you go, girl. Two glasses of wine and Port Orleans, we're all in.
That is great. That's what that stuff is for. And, well, all I would say is now that they're starting to do it, we all got to step up to the plate and buy this stuff, because like anything else, if it doesn't sell, it'll quickly go back the other way. So we got to put our money where our mouth is and, you know, buy some of this stuff.
Yeah, just only if I had a mouth. Yeah, John, head over to the studios.
Yeah. So we left Epcot and made our way over to studios to see. We left Epcot probably around 4:30. We wanted to make sure to take our walk and get over there in plenty of time to try to get a decent spot for the Jingle Bell Jingle Bam.
I'm so glad you listened to those brilliant guys on that podcast and started taking that walk. I mean, they are really geniuses to come up with that idea.
Must be. Yeah. We got over there around 5:30, and the show was at 6:45, and there was people freaking everywhere. It's just squished. And I had read that if you want to see this, you need to be in front of the Chinese theater, almost looking directly at it.
to get a good view, and there was just no place. We were there at least an hour early, and there was no place to try to even get to look at it. So my wife stopped on the sidewalk over to the left, and I meandered around looking for a spot, a little better spot, and I could never find one. So we ended up watching it from behind a tree, and it was a lot less than spectacular. The fireworks were – there was probably three or four different sets of like the perimeter fireworks, but that was about it. And then most of it was the projection show, and unless you're up front watching it, you can't even see most of the projection. And then you kind of have to be a fan of – I think Dennis, either you or Doug said you had seen the Prep and Landing Christmas show.
Not me. I had not seen
okay.
it.
Doug,
no,
did you
I
see
haven't
it?
Seen. No, I don't think I did. What
Must
was
be
the
other your other podcast? Maybe.
No, what? No, what now?
you broke.
I just heard one of you guys.
The two of you broke up. What were you saying, John? Johnny, I'm sorry.
It's the Elf Disney Elf cartoon that came out a couple of years ago.
No, I've never seen that one either myself. Have you, Bobby? Bobby's
I have
on.
Not.
There he goes. No, so you tell us about it, Johnny.
Well, I had only seen it a couple of years ago and only once, so I couldn't remember much about it. So, but unless you're really familiar with the characters, you really don't even understand what's going on in this show. So, they had mostly clips of them, and then some clips from Nightmare Before Christmas and stuff like that. And I guess it probably is pretty good if you're actually up front looking at it, but it's not Illuminations where you can get a good show from just about anywhere. You know, you can pull up to near the lakeside at Illuminations and still catch the fireworks and stuff, even if you're 5 or 10 minutes out. So, yeah, we were really disappointed, and especially after, you know, seeing the Osborne lights there for so many years. And I really wish we had just hung out at Epcot to watch Illuminations with the holiday tag. A little frustrated with that. So.
Well, that's a shame. But I will say one thing, and I don't know if you guys agree with me. The studios, and you probably will, because it's me saying it, but I'm only kidding. No, but can you guys agree with me? The studios is the hardest place, I think, to watch any of the shows. The way the boulevards and everything is set up there, there's really not much room there to see. If you're not right there in the hub, like John's saying, you're kind of excluded from seeing anything where that's going on now.
Yeah, because I don't think it was ever designed for that. I mean,
no.
If you think about the park when it was originally, you know, planned, it was more for parade viewing than it was for shows of this nature. So I agree with that. I mean, there's foliage and trees and, you know, the way the sight lines are with the buildings that abut the, you know, the main drag there. You're absolutely right, Doug, that it's just not set up for masses of people to see a show that's being shown in a very centrally located place in the park.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a beautiful park, and I'm not trying to knock it or anything. I love the streets, the Hollywood Boulevard, all that, the Man Chinese Theater, but like you said, that it's not designed for that. It's hard to see anything. I mean, when some of the shows are going on, I remember Frozen Ever After and stuff like that, it was hard to even get an advantage point to see it. If you're not right there up front, like you said, John, on any of the shows, I think it's hard to see there.
Right, but I think we all – well, maybe we don't all agree, but I think they're doing the best they can to try to keep the studios relevant, keep new stuff in there or stuff that's going to, you know, potentially entertain the people because, like we said, they're not going to, you know, give you a day's, admission back because the studios is only running at, you know, 30% capacity. So I give them credit for at least trying to, you know, give the people whatever entertainment they can, and for that I give them credit. Now the fact you can't see it very well, that's, you know, kind of not their fault, I guess. You know, it is what it is, but I give them an A for effort.
Yeah, I mean, the Star Wars fireworks, they go off around. I mean, the music and all sells that, where you're kind of into it. Wouldn't you agree with that, John?
Well, the fireworks, they were different because there was a lot more fireworks. And like you said, you're into the music. It's kind of like watching Wishes at the Magic Kingdom. You hear the music and you can see the overhead fireworks. So you still get a good show no matter where you are. That's how the Star Wars fireworks were.
Yeah, exactly.
You hear the music and they were, you know, the fireworks were well-placed, high fireworks. this show was mostly the projection based, and then some low level, close to the surface fireworks. And so unless you had that front on spot, yeah, it was not worth your effort to try to see. So
the hint is here: if you really want to see this, get there early to get a front row spot. Because if not, you're going to be a little disappointed. I mean, you'll still have a good time because it's free, it's part of the show, but you're not going to get the best view if you're not up front.
Either that or spend the money for the dessert party, I suppose, and you can get a glimpse of it that way, and actually you get the 3D glasses and everything with that. Maybe that really pumps it up some. So
you can't hurt it.
So we really missed the Osborne lights after seeing that, but you know, what are you going to do? So, and you know what? We've been all through the parks, and I don't know what do you think they've done with all those lights? Because that was a gob of lights. I wonder what they've done with them all. They must be a warehouse just chock full of Christmas lights somewhere.
Yeah, they probably stored them well. There's rumors of Disney Springs, too, with that.
I heard a story along the way, and it was from a cast member. I just can't remember where it was, that every year they toss all those lights out and they start new the next year.
That's really crazy. Yeah, I've never heard that one, but I couldn't agree or disagree with you. I mean, I would believe it if you told me that, because it's Disney.
I've heard that same story too, Bob. And if you think about it, the time and money it would take to wrap a roll or however they would store them, and all the labor man hours that it would take to do it, it probably isn't cost effective to save them, and it makes more sense to. I mean, I'd like to hope. I would hope they either recycled them or donated them to a church or somebody else that could use them. But I could see them not actually putting them up and using them again the following year. That makes sense to me.
Well, I would like to. They could donate them to me next time they do it. I wouldn't mind having a few sets of the Osborne lights to put around my house. That's all I'm saying. But I did hear rumors. I don't know if you guys heard that. There was one rumor that the Osborne lights might be moving to Disney Springs. That's one of the rumors I heard.
Man, everything that we got going, we got food and wine going down there. We got the Osborne lights. That's going to be a happening place.
Dude, if we go down next time, we're going to be lost again. I was just thinking about the last trip earlier before we recorded. And I was thinking about how I wish I could have spent more time at the Springs. But when you're there, you're feeling like you should be somewhere else. Weren't you feeling like then you were constantly worried about seeing something else the entire time you were there?
Yeah. You're having fun and you're enjoying what you're doing, but on the other hand, you're thinking about, you know, wow, I have theme park tickets, or I should be in the parks, or I should be enjoying the amenities at my resort, or, you know, you always want to be somewhere else. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, that's how I felt the entire time. Like, I'm here at the Springs and I'm loving it, but I should be over at Epcot, or I should be here. It's like I wanted to see everything, and I went against my own pattern. I did finally slow down every night and meet you guys for a drink, though. So that did help cool my jets a little bit. But you know what I'm saying. You felt like you wanted to see everything. And sometimes when you want to see everything, you miss out on seeing everything.
See
exactly. So is that your whole day, Johnny, Mr. I get to go every other week?
The wife wanted to see Olaf, so we waited in line, got a meet and greet with Olaf. He completely ignored me and just spent the entire time glamming on my wife. So
could you blame him?
You know, hey,
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Did you sock him or something?
But so we did that, and then I went over to Fairfax Fair, and I was a little hungry by that time. So I tried the fried green sandwich. I have some pictures about that I need to send over to Bob. So
yes,
that was
send
actually
them.
Really good.
Excellent.
Did I send them?
Send them over. No,
okay,
no, you haven't sent them yet. No, send them over.
Okay. All right. So I had that, and then grabbed me a carrot cake cookie and a coffee for a dessert. Now, that's a good day. I didn't write a single thing at Hollywood Studios, but if I can get my carrot cake cookie, I consider it a successful day.
So, I'm just impressed you ended the day with his coffee. Coffee solo.
Well, he had to drive home, so.
Yeah. You got to be halfway good, right, John? Stay out of trouble.
I'm pretty good, actually.
Well, your livelihood depends on it. You better be a good boy.
Yes, exactly. So,
So, but I'm glad you had a good day at Epcot. You didn't seem to have that much. I mean, you had a good time at the studios. You weren't. It wasn't like it was the worst thing you ever did. It just wasn't as good as you thought it was going to be. You were disappointed because you're gonna. Because I liked the ending of the Illuminations for the holiday season. I really enjoyed that. So I am sad you missed that. But I'm glad you gave us a review on the studios, though. You at least went somewhere else for a change.
It's hard for us to get us out of Epcot, but we did. So
do you want to head over to Bobby and let him tell us about the rankings for the restaurants back over at Epcot? You guys ready for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Bob, do you want to give us the rankings and the brackets and give us the whole story on what's going on at It's All in WDW?
Yep. So we're going to go ahead. People that have been following the website and the podcast will know that we've already tackled Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Magic Kingdom. We're now heading on over to Epcot for the table service poll for 2016. And our task this week's going to be to work 16 Epcot table services restaurants down to the WDW fans favorite. So, so today we're going to walk through our, each of us will walk through our, how we rank the 19 table service restaurants. there are 19 in Epcot. So what that means, if we're going to start the poll with 16, is we're going to eliminate three. And I'll announce which those three are after we've each gone through our top list. I'll announce the final seating and the first round groups, which will actually drop on Thursday, December 15th. So it'll be tomorrow, Thursday, December 15th. We'll have a round of 16. The round of eight, second round, will run on Friday the 16th, and on Saturday the 17th, we'll have our final four with the winner announced on Sunday. So I get, which one of you guys want to start with your top 19?
We'll let John go if you have your list available.
I do. How about that?
There you go, buddy. Give us your rankings. So start at 19 and count down.
You want me to do that or just tell you the three that got eliminated?
Start at 19 and count down and give us your number one. That's what Bobby wants us to do. So listen to the rules.
All right. Unlike Magic Kingdom, I actually have eaten at probably most of these places, or at least close to half, at least, I would say. The ones that I didn't, I looked at the menus and tried to determine where I want to try to get there, or I really don't care about getting there. So, number 19, the Nine Dragons. Number 18, La Cava de la Tequila. Number 17, Restaurant Marrakesh. Number 16, The Coral Reef. Number 15, La Hacienda de San Gel. Number 14, Tutto Gusto. Number 13, Tokyo Dining. Number 12, Tutto Italia. Number 11, The Garden Grill. Number 10, Monsieur Paul. Number 9, Akershus. Number 8, San Angel Inn. Number 7, Chef de France. Number 6, Tepanetto. Number 5, Rosen Crown. Number 4, Via Napoli. Number 3, Spice Road Table. Number 2, Beer Garden. And number 1, probably the best meal that I've had on Disney property was at Le Cellier. So.
Well, Rosen Crown's too low, but besides that, you're okay. But anyway, go ahead, Danny.
Okay, the three that I got cut on out of my list: La Cava del Tequila, Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar, Akershus. Then at 16, I got Beer Garden, San Angel Inn at 15, Restaurant Marrakesh at 14, Nine Dragons 13, La Hacienda del San Angel at number 12, Tepanito 11, 10 Tutto Italia. 9, The Coral Reef. 8, The Garden Grill. 7, Tokyo Dining. 6, Monsignor Paul. 5, Chefs de France. Number 4, Spice Road Table. 3, Rose and Crown. 2, Via Napoli. And number 1 for me also was Le Cellier.
Oh, God. You guys with the Rosen Crown too low. I don't like it.
next.
Yeah, I'll read mine next. Being Bob's the host of this segment, I'll go next. I'll give you the real list now, guys. The bottom three were like...
You said that last time, you know.
It don't matter. This is what I'm going to eat anyway. So this is my list, and I'm going to love it. But anyway, La Cava Tequila, Restaurant Marrakesh, and Tutu Gusto. Now, to give you a little hint here, and I know why Denny did the same thing. We love La Cava Tequila. We had Hilda on the show, but this isn't a sit-down restaurant to me. There's not enough there, so that's the reason why it's 19. Restaurant Marrakesh, I ate there. It's okay. And Tutu Gusto is the same thing. It's basically Tutu Italia with a couple... You get some counter service. You can order the entire Tutu Italia menu, but then they have a couple of their own little plates. So I put these three at the end because that's where they should be. But you get what I'm saying with the two. They're more of a bar. So number 16 is Tokyo Dining. 15, La Hacienda del St. Angelo. Number 4, Monsieur Paul. Monsieur Paul is the only one I haven't eaten at, so I put it up here because it has to be on the list because I've heard nothing but spectacular things about it, but I haven't eaten there, so it has to be lower. Coral Reef, Arkush, Via Napoli, Chef de France, 9 Garden Grill, 8 Tutu Italia, 7 9 Dragons, 6 Beer Garden, 5 St. Angelo's Inn, 4 Tappanito, 3 Spice Road Tables, 2 Le Cellier, and number 1 is Rosen Crown Pub.
Go figure.
And well, that has switched over the last few years. It used to be Le Cellier, but they got a little too big for their britches, and Rosen Crown brought it in for this. This is a blue-collar bar, guys. We got to vote for Rosen Crown. We can't be all uppity. We got to stick to our roots. We're a pub. The Rosen Crown pub. Do you get it, guys?
Jeez, well, I would say that nothing wrong with being in the top three restaurants.
No.
Epcot, in all seriousness. I mean, that is, I think compared to where that restaurant might have been 5 or 7 years ago, the fact that we've all had great experiences there and continue to go there speaks well of it. I mean, really, I had it at 3 and you had it at 1, and I know it was low for them other guys too. So it's right in there neck and neck. And Le Cellier is awesome. And I know you even say, as much as you're critical of it as of late, you still have a lot of great memories there. And they still... Maybe not the greatest steak on property. If you want to include Shuler's or some of the other places, it's still, if you put the snootiness aside, you still get a great, great meal at Le Cellier.
I will say, out of all the steakhouses, it's still my favorite because I love the atmosphere. I have so many fond memories. I cannot wait to eat there again. It's just Rosen Crown has stole my heart lately, but I love the whole atmosphere of Le Cellier. I love the restaurant. I love everything about it. I just when it got a little too full of itself, I gotta say it, because that's what it wasn't about. It was more of a family atmosphere. You know, it wasn't stuffy, and it turned a little bit that way, but I still love it. So let's give our food critic, let Bob at It's All in WDW, give us what his list is.
All right, so I don't want to spoil my list, but I think that there's a lot to be said about what Doug has to say about his restaurants. So I went a little bit different angle with regard to my top 19. I definitely understand the point that Doug, you and Dennis and John are making with regard to Tutu Gusto Wine Cellar and La Cava del Tequila. But at the bottom of my list, I put actually Monsieur Paul. And the reason I did is because Mrs. All in WDW and I are not huge fans of French cooking, and even less so for expensive French cooking. So at number 19, I had Monsieur Paul, and of course, at number 18, I had Chef de France.
Okay.
So at number 18, we had Akershus Royal Banquet Hall. I know it's very popular, being a character princess meetup, but for us, and we have been there once many years ago, it's just not our thing. So at number 16, the Garden Grill, again, character meetup, very popular, but just not for us. 15, Restaurant Marrakesh, just because that's not a cuisine that's, in our particular tastes. Number 14, Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar. Number 13, Tutto Italia. Number 12, Coral Reef. Number 11, La Cava del Tequila. Yes, I agree, it's not a sit-down restaurant per se, but it is a place where we really enjoy. So where does that leave me? That was number 11. Number 10, La Hacienda de San Gel. Number 9, San Angel Inn. Number 8, Nine Dragons. Number 7, Spice Road Table. 6, Tokyo Dining. 5, Tepanito. 4, Via Napoli. 3, Beer Garden. 2, Le Cellier. And number 1, Rose and Crown Pub and Dining Room.
You're wising up there, Bobby. Good call, buddy. but it is the Main Street Pub. We should be voting for the pub. That's all I'm saying. And I do want to make a correction on my list real quick. I actually read it off the original way I wrote it, but I switched around. I actually had Via Napoli 8 and Tutto Italia 11. I like Via Napoli better. I switched them backwards. So when you do the ratings, Bob, I didn't know if you caught that when I was reading it. But no, I I agree with your list as far as I understand what you're saying with you don't like French food or whatever, but we've eaten at Chef de France, but never Monsieur Paul's. I do enjoy it, but you want to put what you enjoy more, and La Cava Tequila and Tutto Gusto, you've had good times at, and you don't like the other two, so I understand your ranking there. I'm not picking on you for it.
Oh, no, everybody's got a taste that's different, right? And that's why we do this, right? And when I collated together all four of our rankings, there were 3 restaurants that were eliminated of the 19. So now we do have our final seating of 16. The 3 restaurants that were eliminated were Tutto Gusto Wine Cellar, La Cava del Tequila, and Restaurant Marrakesh.
So I was right, the bottom 3 that I had. So very good, Bob.
So Doug had it right on target. Okay, so let me share the final seating and the first round groups that we will see hit allinwdw.com on Thursday the 15th. And that here's the final seating from 16 to 1. 16 is Akershus Royal Banquet Hall. 15 is La Hacienda, 14 is Coral Reef, 13, Monsieur Paul, 12 is Nine Dragons, 11, Tutto Italia, 10, The Garden Grill, 9, Tokyo Dining, 8, Chef de France, 7, San Angel Inn, 6, Beer Garden, 5, Via Napoli, 4, Spice Road Table, 3, Tepanito, 2, the Rose and Crown Pub and Dining Room, and 1, Le Cellier Steakhouse. Doug, it's Dennis and John's fault.
All right, Doug, let me ask you now. Now, you're promoting the Rose and Crown as the pub. This is a pub. What can you get in a pub? Tell me what I can purchase in a pub. I can purchase a beer, correct?
Yes.
The last time I went to the Rose and Crown, which is probably the last time I go to Rose and Crown, they would not get me a beer. Their draft system was down. They didn't have anything in bottle, and they would not go next door and pick me up a Bass or anything else from the place next door. So that's why, it's a pub. It's a pub.
No, they had a bad day. Give them a break. Then don't ever go buy a Le Fin de Monaghan from Canada because they didn't have it for you. And they wouldn't go get you one.
I don't go to the Rose and Crown Pub to have a Diet Coke with my shepherd's pie. I don't.
Well, you had to. But like I said, then don't ever get the Le Fin de Mont. Then, out of purpose, never drink a beer of Canada again. That's what I'm telling you. Because they wouldn't go get you one. The girl should have ran and found you a Le Fin de Mont, no matter what it took.
No, she should have went next door and got me a bath is what she should have done. But
yeah, well, she didn't do that either. She made you walk up the steps and get your own bath. Nah, but I hear you. No, but what
okay,
I am
surprised. It's okay, Doug. I got your back.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. What I am surprised about, what I'm very happy about, is on this show how high Spice Road Tables ranked. Because that's a very high-ranking restaurant on my – and I'm very sad that we didn't get to eat there on the last trip. Aren't you, Den?
Yeah, I mean, we literally kind of broke up right in front of it. I know John had to get going, and it just didn't work out the couple of times that we were there. We had intention of trying to scoop a table for Illuminations, but as those had listened to a couple of podcasts ago, it was getting a little rowdy there, and we all decided to bail out of World Showcase. But I agree with you, Doug. But it'll be interesting because as popular as it is amongst us, or at least most of us, it isn't. It at least.
Yeah, I don't think it has a fighting chance.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think that we should, rightly so, give it its props now because I have a funny feeling it's going to quickly make its exit from the poll.
I hope.
Isn't it interesting too? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, can I share with you how many votes it got in
2014? Sure. Zero. Me and Dennis.
You guys are so pessimistic. It got five.
Oh, true, boy.
All right, I voted two. So.
Now you're a fan of it.
I was gonna.
Good job.
I was gonna say, isn't it interesting how of us four, and we've all eaten there, and I assume we've all eaten at Restaurant Marrakesh, though, too. That how high Spice Road Table is on our list, and how low Restaurant Marrakesh is,
because the one has
the same pavilion,
but the one has more of a Greek background from the Greek heritage of the country. Because in India they have a lot of Greek. That if you read about the Spice Road Table, there is more of a Greek influence. Where the other one is more of the Indian spices and stuff like that on the Marrakesh side. They're actually two different flavors of the same area. If you follow me,
yeah, actually,
and it's a drastic difference.
The Spice Road.
I found a lot more. Yeah, I found a lot more flavoring in Spice Road Table. Everything was seasoned, and you could taste everything. When we ate at Restaurant Marrakesh, it tasted like they had really went all the way to try to Americanize the food and appeal to a broad palate, and they had no flavoring, no seasoning whatsoever. Everything was bland as all get out. So.
Yeah, John, what you'll find is, and you're absolutely right on, where the traditional Mediterranean food like you'd find at Restaurant Marrakesh is very very heavy in the curry is the central spice in almost all the dishes in all Mediterranean Indian dishes like that. Whereas Spice Road Table, as Doug was saying, it's actually a road that goes through all of a big part of the Middle Eastern countries, and there's flavors from not just India centralized like that, but you get more of the true flavors, the garlics and the other spices. I mean, some of them do have curry in them, but the food is just much more varied than you get across the street.
It's a lot lighter too. It's a lighter fare. Yeah.
I would say that, and I would also say that, like Doug and I discovered, give it a try. If you haven't tried it yet, if you don't like Indian food or it's not your favorite, culinary dish or whatever, give it a try. I guarantee you, you're going to find something on the menu. If you're not into spicy food and you don't like the spicy garlic shrimp, there are other things there that I think you'll like. Now, I know our good buddy Bob has had issue with the menu. They've gone through a lot of changes since they opened up with what they used to offer, what they offer now, and it has to do with the dining plan. That's a whole different issue in my view. But just going on the food itself, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least try it once.
Yeah, they took the mixed grilled skewers off the small plates and added it to the entrees. And made it $29, but what they did is they added rosemary roasted potatoes, and Mrs. All and WDW is a little upset that they took the beef skewers off. And they did change them because they're like bigger piece of meat compared to the smaller ones that they were on the skewers. Am I wrong? They did change even the setup of it a little bit. But all the other small plates are still the same, the ones that me and you love, Dan. It's just she got upset about the skewers being gone, and that upset Bob. But I will say I could honestly sit there and eat the spicy garlic shrimp, the harissa chicken roll, and the hummus fries all day and night. I could just stay there all day and drink beers and wait for illumination because that's how good those three things are.
Right, and like the Rose and Crown, if you have the outdoor seating, I mean, you can't beat the sight lines from the outdoor pavilion if you're lucky enough to get a table out there for illuminations or just in the middle of the afternoon. I've done it. Charge up your phone and have a drink and maybe a small plate or two and, you know, get off your feet for a half hour, 45 minutes. You can't beat it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and the beers are good there, too. I had. Have you ever had any of the beers there, John?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, is there one that stood out to you? Because I like the
no, the a lot of those Mediterranean beers, and there's actually one, the La Casa from I think actually from Morocco or from somewhere in Africa, and they're all pretty light, and they're okay, but there's nothing real spectacular about any of them. So
you should just become a real man and just drink bourbon all day, dude. Just drink a strong bourbon. I mean, a beer ain't strong enough for you. Just become bourbon solo.
No, some of the beers I like are lower in alcohol. They just have a lot more flavor. I'm looking for flavor in my beers.
So. I'm kidding with you. No, I like the Mythos there, though. I enjoyed that the last time we ate there. I don't know if you ever tried that one, but I did enjoy that. I know, Bob, you are a big fan, but you're not the biggest fan still of Spice Road, right?
You know, I mean, it's for what you said, right? I mean, whether they made the portion size bigger or not, they took the mixed grill skewers off of the small place menu, threw some potatoes on the plate, and then jacked the price up to $29. I mean, you and we've talked about this on the show before. If I'm going to spend that much for an entree, I'd rather go over to Rose and Crown, spend less, and have the bangers and mash or the fish and chips. So for us, it just, took a lot of luster off. Initially, we loved it, but that's why I ranked it a lot lower than the three guys did. I ranked it at 7, and you guys were 3 and 4. So
if you look at the way it's set up now, Bob, I get it. If you look at it, there's a skewer that goes through it, but it's basically a full piece of chicken and a full piece of meat. It's no longer a couple little piece of chicken on the skewer, if you follow me. They do give you a lot more for what you're paying for. You do get more, but I understand you do miss what you originally had.
Yeah, but from a comparative standpoint, I mean, I've been very vocal. One of my favorite meals on property is the braised beef short rib over at Captain's Grill. I would just as soon then leave World Showcase through the International Gate, walk over to the Beach and Yacht Club, and walk up to Captain's Grill and have the braised beef short rib. I mean, it's going to be about the same price. And for me, a much better meal. So, you know, it's a personal taste thing. And, you know, we were disappointed when we found out that they had changed the menu. And we understand why they did. But and we still ranked at 7th. I mean, it's not that we had it at the bottom of the list, but it was a big disappointment to us.
See, and I really enjoyed this, the skewers, but to be honest, I liked my favorite thing on the meal on the whole menu was the spicy garlic shrimp, and I think Dennis's was too, weren't they, Dan?
Oh, absolutely, yep.
So it really didn't bother me. Like, I could go get the spicy garlic shrimp and the hummus fries and grab a chicken for $30, the harissa chicken roll and a beer, and I'd be happy as a pig and you know what. Pig and ham hocks. Yeah. But I do rank this very high, and I would say to all of our listeners out there, you need to try this place. And so many people have it, and I think if you did, like John just mentioned, tried Restaurant Marrakesh, it's nothing like it. It's totally different, and I think you would really enjoy yourself if you eat over here.
I would say the food's a lot more like Tangerine Cafe, and that's one of our favorite table services out there. Maybe not necessarily the same exact
same type of food, but definitely it's got more flavoring and seasonings, a lot more similar to the Tangerine Cafe than anything in the restaurant Marrakesh. So.
No, but I think we're going to have some fun with these rankings. Are you going to put them did you read off the brackets yet, Ed, Bob, or are you going to wait till it surprise everybody?
No, they'll come out on Thursday. I mean, there's going to be – so the way this is going to work in round one, there's going to be four groups of four restaurants. You get the opportunity to pick your favorite in each group. If you're looking at a particular group where you haven't tried any of those restaurants yet, then don't pick your favorite that you've been to before. Pick the one that you want to go to or add to your ADR list for your next trip, perhaps. The top two in each group will move on to the second round, which will take us down to the final eight. And then you'll see two groups of four again. The top two in each of those groups will move into the final four. And, you know, when all's said and done after Saturday's votes are over, what we're going to have is we're going to have the Epcot favorite table service restaurant to join the champions that we've crowned for Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios.
I'm looking forward to it. And make sure you guys head over to It's All in WDW to vote. And make sure you vote for Spice Road Table, Le Cellier, and Rose and Crown Pub, please.
Now, Bob, are you going to run a poll after this is all over and do the favorite sit-down restaurant in Walt Disney World, or are you just going to leave it as the champion of each park?
Well, so that's where the hard work's going to come in for us four, is now we're going to have to take the restaurants that performed quite well in the voting for each of the four parks, and we're going to have to figure out which 16 Walt Disney Worldwide qualify for the WDW Parks Table Service Tournament.
Nice.
No, I'm looking forward to that. Then we got to all sit down in the committee and do all the resort restaurants.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's fun. We love talking about food, so I don't mind doing that. But
and
that's
then one of these days,
the
then one of these days, we got to do Disney Springs. Uh
oh. Oh, good grief.
Bob will be another five restaurants open by that time.
Yeah, Bob will be riding on the roof of the boathouse, screaming from the rooftop.
Yeah.
Firecracker shrimp. Firecracker shrimp.
Oh, way better than the garlic shrimp.
No, it's not.
Oh, now no, it's not. Fighting words.
No, I'll tell you what.
By the way,
take
guys, I got an ADR for. I've got an ADR for Boathouse for our vacation in June. So.
All right, there you go.
Nice, John. Nice.
Firecracker shrimp. Firecracker shrimp.
Firecracker shrimp.
They are good. I got to admit that. Firecracker at Boathouse are awesome.
They're both good. I'll tell you what. I would argue. Whatever one is closest to me at the time is my favorite. How's that sound? Whatever one I can reach out and touch. But that's going to be it for this weekly show, guys. We will see you again on Sunday. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Please head over to Bob's site and make sure you scroll down and vote for all four of the go down to all four polls and vote so we can have our favorite Epcot restaurant. And please, guys, go over to follow John at Beer Solo, follow Dennis at Oak Manor, follow me at Grumpy6767. And again, to vote, you can go over to at It's All in WDW and head over to our website. And we will talk to you guys real soon. Have a great night, guys.
Good night.
Night. Take care.
Mm-hmm.